Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys.
Hello, Singo the Tech Guy here. This episode of Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you by the Full Credit to the Boys app, now available for Android on the Google Play Store. iOS update coming soon.
FCTTBTA, Full Credit to the Boys, the app. FCTTBTA, go get the app today.
This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we wave goodbye to two pretty shitty NRL teams. We preview week two of the NRL finals, and we nominate our new favourite bogan names for kids. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How are you? Here's your mask. You got some sanitizer? Welcome to Full Credit Boys, live from the Craig Gower Quarantine Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram, FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend, or search the hashtag super spreader. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punce. He's a man who this week was the subject on Arndo's Brush with Fame. He was denied he was in the White House Rose Garden coughing on everyone, and tonight he's wearing a bright yellow Lycra outfit. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, thank you, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, world. It was great being on Arndo's Brush with Fame. He gets all the big celebrities on there, former. It was tough for him this week, though, finding a bit of canvas big enough to paint my giant melon. But the likeness, I can tell you, is uncanny. He captured me magnificently in my IGA polo shirt with a look on my face that says, "Where did my life go so wrong?" It's beautiful.
Is it true that the easel went upside down, upside down?
Hurry up.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
The Leighton Advertiser has put out Australia's most bogan baby names for 2020.
Sid. This is great.
We'll start with the girls. Karen. C-A-R-R-Y-N.
Yeah, great.
There's Karens everywhere, and they've had a tough year. But first the pandemic and then the Karen memes, all of the Karen memes. But disguising Karen as Karen, C-A-R-R-Y-N, doesn't fool anyone. This is just a way of hiding in plain sight for me.
Yeah, here's to a long life, Karen, full of whinging and whining and feeding your cats alone. Can't hide it just with a C.
The next one's Shablis. There's been girls named Shiraz, Chardonnay, and even Chardonnay over the years. But until this week, we hadn't heard of Chablis.
Chablis.
Until I met one in the flesh a few weeks ago.
The only problem was that
she didn't pronounce it Chablis, like the French wine region, but Chablis. It was hard to contain my glee. See, I see your Chablis, and I raise you a more Aussie bogan take on that, which would be cannabis. Just saying.
Well, I reckon if you want to go down this path, go a bit classier than Chablis. Go call your kid Lambrusco or Passion Pop, Smirnoff, Double Black.
Green ginger wine.
Dinner ale. Long neck.
The DA.
Yeah. Let's call your kid Tui's Red. That was a nice drop.
West Coast cooler. The next one's Corona.
Are you serious?
You know there'd be one virus-inspired name on this list, Sid, but while there were countless ones to choose from, some of the other appellations, such as COVID, lockdown and sanitizer, were used by parents in foreign countries who may have reasons for choosing them on their own. But Corona has had a boost in popularity all around the world, even in the White House. Now, when I seen this name, Sid, my name didn't spring towards COVID-19. I seen Corona and just thought it must have been about some girl who needed a lemon insider to make it taste any good.
I once knew a girl called Rona. She'd be getting teased now, I'd reckon. But don't call your kid after a virus. Is herpes on the list?
Yeah.
Later? I haven't read the list yet.
The next one's Graceland. So even if you're a diehard Elvis fan, would you name your child after his Memphis mansion? Wouldn't Grace, Priscilla, or Lisa Marie be a better tribute? There are so many alternatives. Still, I reckon, Sid, it's better than calling your kid Never Never Lynch.
I reckon Graceland's cool. Calling your kid after your hero's home. I wonder if there's any babies out there being named Oatley right now. Probably.
The next one's Honesty. H-O-N-E-S-T-E-E. Honesty, they says, this makes my head hurt. I'm already not a huge fan of the next-gen virtue names, but a misspelt one to boot, I'm out. Quite honestly, Sid, I don't even have a joke about this one.
Honesty and her sister Integrity, just with a capital T at the end. Beautiful.
Next one's Jezebella. Now, according to the Hebrew Bible, Jezebel was one of the original bad girls.
Yeah.
Trying to jazz her up a bit with a bit of a double Z and a modern Bella at the end is an odd choice in my books. Also, Jezebella, pretty sure it won the 98 Melbourne Cup.
Probably did. That's a stupid name. There's plenty of cool biblical names like Gomer, Aeneas. Aeneas would be a good name. Gaius or Zipporah.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Zipporah.
Yeah.
Jinx is the next one. J-I-N-X. It says here, I get that 2020 is a strange year, but naming your daughter after a curse or a plague is probably not going to make things better. I'm not superstitious at all, but this is too much even for me. I reckon Jinx Africa would be a good stripper's name, Sid. It would appeal to all the 18 to 19 year old clients.
If you call your girl Jinx, she's becoming a stripper.
Yep.
Lay down Mazaire.
Yep.
It's like if you called your kid Jeeves. It's going to be a butler.
What about this last one for girls? Pistol.
Yeah.
As you can see, you'll see in the boys section, there's a real trend towards violent first names. But naming your little girl Pistol, I mean, come on, just say no. But saying that, Sid, if you do name your name girl Pistol, let's hope she marries Liam Knight from the Sea Eagles.
This is a sick name. If you had triplets, you could call them Pistol, Smith and Wesson.
Best bogan names for boys. We'll start with Axe, not Axel, Axe. Exhibit B on the dangerous weapons list, Sid. I was already mildly shocked, the author says, when monikers such as Blaze and Diesel started appearing a few years ago, but these are next level. Do the kids named Axe have any choice but to become members of the full crew of the Boys Backyard Stats Lab?
100%. Axe is a cool name. It's a yes for me on that one.
What about Bamboo? The author says, yeah, not feeling it. Just because rapper Big Boy did it many years ago doesn't mean you should too. It's been well established that celebrities are not a reputable source for baby naming. In this instance, it's no different.
Yeah, Bamboo. When I think of Bamboo, I think of pandas. That's what pandas eat. If you want to go a bit Chinesey with your choice of names, go San Choi Bao after your favourite dish, or in my case, let's call them Number Six. Number Six takeaway punts.
The next one's Chaiton. C-H-A-T-O-N.
No.
This is another fantastic example, they say, of a foreign word that sounds cute but doesn't make any sense. It means kitten in French, for crying out loud. Name your son Chaiton and he's guaranteed to change it to Axe or Blade when he's old enough.
Yeah.
For some reason, every time I seen Chaiton, I just read it as futon. And that just assumed that it's one of those cases where the parents have named their kid over where it was conceived, much like Brooklyn Beckham or Brian Lara's daughter, Sydney, or my first son, Nguyen Soapy Massage Parlor.
Yeah, chatting, chat. It's hideous. It's a no from me, that one.
Dagger. Is anyone? It seems that everything has to be a stabby mental image right now. Imagine a teensy-weensy baby wearing a 000 onesie called Dagger. It's absurd. Especially when you could choose more subtle names, Sid, like Machete, Switchblade, or Knuckle Dusters.
Yeah, well, we've got a bloke down the stats lab called Dagger. Dagger Jim works there with his weak-ass brother, Butterknife Tim. Is that how you do those?
Not really, but keep trying.
Okay.
The next one's Jaguar. In addition to weapon names, there seems to be an animal theme this year. Back in my day, the author says, a boy named Jaguar would have been teased right off the playground. Have times changed enough for Jaguar to be embraced? Again, my mind didn't go to the big cat. I'm more inclined to think that this baby Jaguar is a lumbering built British car that leaks oil and won't start three out of every four goes.
Poor Jaggy. If I saw this kid in the playground, I'd bash him.
Yeah.
Even now, if I was just driving past.
Well, I know that. That's what I thought you meant. What about this one? Jaxton. J-A-X-T-Y-M-M.
That's stupid.
So I thought the random insertion of X's and Y's into a children's name was over. This little fella pops up. He says, I'm fairly sure it's the first time I encounter this particular train wreck.
It is a train wreck.
I can't be sure. All the Braxton, Jaden, Jasdens of years gone past have been melted into one big ugly puddle. But let me fair think of me, Sid. If you name your kid Jaxton, you're essentially saying to that kid, aim low, son. You're not going to achieve much.
Yeah, what's it say here? It's all melted into a big ugly puddle. I would rather call my kid Ugly Puddle than Jaxton. Hey, Uggy.
Speaking ugly of bad names,
cool.
Jevon. We're over Kevin, so we're just going to swap a J with a K, Sid. I mean, it sounds stupid enough to me. Although Jid Punts has a certain ring to it, although
yeah.
Jorma Legend, not so much.
No, that's no good. I like Devon. Not as a name, on a sandwich.
Sauce?
Yeah, a bit of sauce.
Mordax. Mordax is the next
Mordax.
One.
Now you're just putting random letters together.
Otherwise known as the California forest scorpion. I don't mind a good old stingy insect, but I'm not sure it makes for a good baby name.
No, Mordax is
a dumb
name.
Be more impressed by fire ant, march fly, or even that fucking arsehole wasp.
Yeah, Mordax or Ajax. Ajax is better.
And the final one's rad.
Yeah, mad.
If you're going to choose a word that means cool or your kid for your kid, pick one that's a bit more modern. So sick, filthy, or gnarly, I'd reckon.
Yeah, I was going to say rad is a gnarly name. Chiller AF would be a sick name too, or call your kid TikTok or Simp September.
Full credit to the boys.
Next story comes from the Lismore Telegraph.
What have they got to say?
Naked Cleaner says business is booming as it makes people happy after lockdown.
I'm interested.
The boss of a naked company says she's been struggling to keep up with demand since lockdown was lifted and even claims scrubbing in the buff makes it safer during the pandemic.
Sure it does.
Nikki Belton, I'll say.
I'm taking scientific advice from Nikki Belton.
Launched the Naked Cleaning Company at the beginning of the year, but not long after she was forced to put business on hold as the coronavirus crisis put the country in lockdown. But she says demand for naked cleaners has now skyrocketed as she believes it's nice for people to make use of the quirky service following a difficult few months. Her cleaners carry out tasks such as vacuuming, dusting and wiping surfaces with prices of £75 an hour for topless and lingerie and £95 for fully naked, except for a pair of rubber gloves and a mask because they're not weirdos. They clean at a distance of up to 2 metres from the clients at all times. 34-year-old Nikki, who opts to clean in lingerie, says stripping off means there's less clothes for the virus to stick to.
Ah, she's a thinker, old Nikki. Makes sense. You know it makes sense.
Yeah. The boss from Plymouth says, I think our job is now more important than ever given the current situation, and business has never been better. Everyone's been struggling through the lockdown, and we hope to help clean away the coronavirus one naked cleaner at a time. We're here to provide a smile and also help clean people's homes because at the end of the day, we're professional cleaners who are there to do a job, and it's nice for people to have a bit of a quirky service like this after all the troubles we've been through. Naked cleaning is bringing back happiness, fun, and a sense of well-being after a lockdown. Nikki teamed up with business partner Leanne Woolman, switching her £16.50 an hour cleaning company to offer naked services where she saw the potential earnings triple. The naked cleaning service is mainly used by men. Requesting women to clean their homes. And Nikki says it's proved to be a valuable service for people who have felt lonely during the pandemic. She's curing the virus. She's making people not lonely
Mate,
anymore.
Nikki's on fire.
At the end of the day, she says we're a business and there's nothing sexual about it at all. Our cleaners aren't sex objects. They're there to do a job in the nude. We weren't worried about the coronavirus affecting business because it's such a niche business, so it's very different. We're now looking for business people and cleaners across the world as we're available for international franchise, which is exciting. Much like a gym's mowing franchise, you've got to say, you know, I could just go and do that and don't have to pay for the franchise fees.
Well, good news, fellas. They're now in Australia. I Googled this last night.
No.
Servicing Brizzy, Sydney and Melbourne and Oatley. I looked up their I looked up their website to check out the ladies for research purposes, of course.
Of course. You're not a sex pest.
No, there's three girls on their site that come over and scrub the mould from your shower grout while you sit there drinking a long neck, perving on them. We've got Jennifer, who describes herself as savage, classy, bougie, ratchet. Do you know what that means?
No idea.
Whatever, love. The ironing's not going to do itself. Then we have the lovely Melissa, who says, I love ironing whilst wearing nothing but a G-string. Mm. Me too, Mel. Let's do it together. and the lovely Renee, who simply says, "I believe shaved is the expression." Don't know what she's banging on about. Just get that ensuite scrub so it doesn't resemble a war crime.
Well, I reckon naked cleaning is a really good gauge of how good of a sort you really are, Sid. If you can look hot cleaning out someone's shitter while on the Nudy Rudy, you are a genuine 10 in my books.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how we should get a winner in the Miss Universe pageants from here on in. Forget the swimsuit section. Let's give Miss Puerto Rico a double-sided scour and some jiff, and we'll just see how she goes from there.
Could not agree more.
F-C-T-T-B. Our final story comes from the Lucknow Leader. A man hires escort after seeing photos of just the escort's body, something he regretted when she knocked on the door.
Why?
Since joining the army 6 years ago, James, yes, he's his real name, has found it difficult to hold down a relationship. His job means he's away for long periods at a time, which makes dating, that's what's been real, no, it doesn't matter, makes dating and finding someone special extremely tricky.
I wonder what you were going
to
say there.
However, he missed the physical sides of a relationship, so decided to try hiring escorts, saying he makes the best of a very unique situation. His fun, sexy nights. Remember when if you got a prostitute, you're a dirty filth man?
Yeah,
now it's fun
shame.
And sexy.
It was such shame, but James, he don't care.
His fun,
loves it.
Sexy nights have become part of the normal routine, and he's never thought too much of it until one evening when things got very, very weird when one of his anonymous bookings turned up at his door. The site he used saw him order an escort using just photos of the woman's body, but you couldn't see the face.
He told
Mirror Online, that's a man. Using escorts means I can satisfy my sexual needs with no strings attached. In my mind, I'm making the best of a very unique situation.
However you want to justify it, James.
It's fun and sexy, girls.
I'm not your wife. I don't care.
They set a time and a place, and 45 minutes later, a call pulled up, but James was horrified when he opened the door. He said, "I opened the door and she stood in front of me. And who was it? It was my best friend's mum." And
ooh.
I just thought, shit, this is awkward.
Ooh.
He claims for a while he had no idea.
You should tell your other story.
He claims for a while he had no idea what to do. So he took a minute of contemplation to think about his lifelong friendship with his mate before he parked his army-issued dagger into his mum's tuna wallet. I was obviously attracted.
20 seconds he pondered it.
You'll do. I was obviously attracted to her. He said it was a weird turn of events, but it actually added to the excitement. You want what you can't have, and I knew I shouldn't carry on. There wasn't exactly much talking going on. We got right into it. No messing about. Fun and sexy, girls. I always book escorts no matter where I'm stationed with the army. When I last came home after being injured, I couldn't wait to book someone. I was buzzing. I always thought about having a thing with a MILF, so I decided to go for a woman who had a sexy headmistress vibe. She didn't show her face in the photos, but her body and said what she'd do on her profile was enough for me to grab my attention.
Saucy.
However, they did address the issue that after they were finished with a mutual understanding that it had to be a secret. He explains, "We did make one thing clear, that it would have to be kept a secret. No one could know." Unsurprisingly, James has decided he'll never tell his friend about what happened. Shout out to you, Billy. He said, "I honestly don't know how I even would start that conversation. The fact that I've seen her on several occasions would make things even 100 times worse."
Oh, he's gone back a few times.
Obvious reasons. But to make things even more horrifyingly awkward, James knows for a fact that his mate uses the same escort directory, envy2ns.com.
Tell your other story.
No, I won't be telling that story. I won't be telling that story.
There you go. On.
Shout out to you, Alfie. I often worry that he'll accidentally book her himself, he says. My experience wouldn't be awkward at all if that happened, he said, but the encounter hasn't put James off. He's continued using escorts as well as going to BNS balls.
This is an awkward...
That's an in-joke. We won't be expanding on that.
We shan't be expanding on that. But this is an awkward situation for me, but I'd have to tell him straight away. But I'd be real subtle and caring about it. It'd be tough finding out your mum's turning tricks on the side. So I'd be like, "Dave, I rooted your mum. She was good value too. 4 stars.
GT stripe suits her." Yes, week one of semi-finals of 2020, Sid, and we started on Friday night, when the Panthers beat the Roosters 29 points to win 28. In a game that threatened to be a blowout but quickly turned into a thriller, the Panthers hung on to beat a gallant Roosters team by a single point. The Roosters shot to an early 10-0 lead before the Panthers exploded, scoring the next 28 points. It was then the Roosters' chance to respond. They scored three tries and forced the Panthers into kicking a field goal to secure the game and earn themselves a week off. For the Roosters, they now face the Raiders in another instalment of their rivalry stemming back to last year's grand final.
Yeah, what a great game of football. All four semi-finals this week started with the underdog going to an early lead. The Roosters flew out of the blocks, and you could hear the rumblings that an inexperienced side like the Panthers would get done by the dual premiers in the Roosters. But as you say, 28 points in a row from the Panthers, and Sid's very rough punt this week of Penrith 13+ was looking the goods. They were up by 18.
I nearly texted that. I nearly put that out on Twitter. I was nearly going to say, you're home, yeah. You're a genius.
I was home and hosed, but an amazing comeback from the Roosters. Saw this game go down to the wire. Nathan Cleary slotting the field goal and having an absolute blinder.
Yeah, well, it's another week and another A-grade game from Nath Chin Cleary, who was electric in this one, including a first-half try-scoring hat-trick, Sid. But not only did he score three tries, he kicked four from five goals, which proved important, as well as clinching that all-important field goal. In the end, he finished with the other stats of 13 tackles, a try assist, 35 running metres, a line break, and a tackle bust.
Yeah, his three tries in a row leading up to halftime totally turned the game. He scored 20 of those 28 points the Panthers put on. The Roosters will gain some confidence out of this game. They were playing without Jake Friend. Freddie Lussick in his debut season, five games under his belt, is a good player. He tried hard, but defensively the Chooks missed Friend. He could be rushed back this week, but the Roosters do not look like the side they were 6-8 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's interesting because after the game, Robinson said he was pleased with his team's efforts and showed a lot of character, but he still feels his team was out of sorts, in those air quotes. Now, for a team that has achieved the greatest results off the back of their defence over the last couple of years, especially goal line defence, it would seem their biggest deficiency right now is in the tackling department. In the past two games, they've had 15 tries scored against them, and on Friday night, they missed 26 tackles. Very un-Roosters-like. Yeah. It's the second week they've strayed into the 20s for that stat. Their game this week will be very interesting, given the display from the past 2 weeks, and given that the Raiders will give themselves every hope of beating their old foes.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. The Raiders aren't at their best, but next week is sudden death, and Ricky will have the Raiders primed. It will be an interesting game.
Really interesting. What do you make of Robinson losing his mind up in the coach's box and smacking the window a couple of times? I don't reckon I can remember him doing that more than maybe half a dozen times in his whole coaching career.
Yeah, it gets me.
Pressure? Is it?
Oh, it's definitely pressure, but, you know, people in glass houses can't throw stones. Every team has gamesmanship, but yeah, he blew up Deluxe, didn't he? It was great.
Oh, it's beautiful. We go to Saturday, and the Raiders beat the Sharkies 32 points to 20 in a surprise to no one. In another topsy-turvy game, but Sid, the Raiders fought back from a very slow start in the first half to finish all over the top of the Sharkies. Just before halftime, the Sharks were absolutely dominating before a George Williams intercept try in the 36th minute got Canberra back into the game. Straight after halftime, the Raiders continued the momentum with four more tries to dash any hopes of an upset. Cronulla's lot night wasn't made any easier. They lost hooker Blake Brayley. Blake with a B-L-A-Y. I don't know about that. Yeah. In the 31st minute, he had a leg injury. With Scott Sorensen joining him on the bench after initially replacing Brayley, seeing only 17 minutes of game time before he himself sat down with a leg injury that claimed him for the rest of the night as well.
Yeah, look, I think you'll find his name is Scott Sorensen. That's what Braith Anasta called him four times in a row, former.
What was, mate, I thought I imagined that. There's no T in Minto, but there's a T in Torrenston.
Yeah, there's a T in Storrenston, apparently. I was about to tweet it out and realised a whole bunch of people had tagged me in it with Braith saying Scott Sorensen. But I think Braith knows more about football than you and I, so he's probably in the right.
Being but again, a doctor.
He's a doctor. But in this case, it was in this game, it was a case of the underdog putting pressure on the favourite team again early. Tries to this guy. There is only one Ronaldo. And Brayley. But that intercept just before halftime, that crueled the Sharks. They only went into the sheds up 14-10. And then after the break, 5 tries in a row saw the Raiders dominate. But it wasn't controversy-free for Sharkies fans this game.
No. Well, one of your biggest bugbears, Sid, is the quick tap in the NRL. And in the 47th minute, a huge call from referee Grant Atkins to allow Jack Whiten to take a quick tap and cross over to score almost untouched continued a huge shift in momentum against the Sharkies at that point in the game. Andrew Fifita gave away a penalty within the 20-metre mark of his defensive goal line, which led to Raiders star Jack Whiten taking a quick tap, while Fifita and other Sharkies players, including Wade Graham, argued with referee Atkins about the penalty. As their backs were turned, Whiten tapped the ball, sprinted to the line and scored a try, which put the home side ahead. Atkins sent the try decision upstairs, only asking for the grounding to be checked, which was cleared easily. Graham was livid at the entire sequence and argued that Whiten should not have been allowed to take the quick tap, especially since he was appealing the penalty.
Yeah, it's a shit rule, and the momentum in this game turned from this play. It was a penalty every day of the week. For Fifita, who doesn't look real fit, by the way. I haven't been paying much attention to him all
Mate,
year.
Mate, I got to agree.
Wow.
He might have squalled his pillow a couple of nights before that game.
Where's his other twin? He's consumed his twin, I reckon. But for Fifita, he did not get off Whiten for an eternity. But as he got up to play the ball, Fifita pushed his leg into it. Whiten dropped the ball. So the ref had no option but to give a penalty. But the quick tap is a blight on the game. I hate it. I've been saying it for years. Cronulla tried hard all this game, but this was a turning point. But really, what cost them was a couple of soft tries up the middle, and the Raiders live to fight another day.
You know, I think there was a time there where before that intercept try just before half time, if the Sharkies go in at half time, I think it was 14-6 at that stage.
Yeah.
If they go in at that stage at that scoreline, you think, well, they've won the first half quite convincingly and they'll take that into the second half early at least. But off the back of that intercept try, and then, like you said, they just started leaking points and the shoulders dropped and that was just the end of them, I reckon.
Mate, it was just soft tries up the middle. Look, weak defence.
It's not excusable, I'm afraid, especially at this end of the year.
They can blame this bullshit quick tap, but, yeah, that intercept and some soft defense, that's what cost him.
Jack Whiten had a massive game for the Raiders, according to Full Credit of the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, Hammer Claw Clarence, and his tasty brother, Clamsaw Sam. He scored 2 tries in a row at one stage to go with 19 tackles, a try assist, 51 running meters, a line break, and 3 tackle busts.
Mate, he was enormous in this game.
Same size as every week.
With his cheating try and everything, but as you said earlier, it leads us to a grand final replay. I'm so excited. It's only the 3rd time this season we've had a grand final replay, whatever. But this week, it's do or die, and against the Roosters should be an epic game, I reckon.
And the second game on Saturday saw the Storm beat the Eels 36 points to 24. Now, the Eels started like a house on fire here, Sid, racing out to an early 12-0 lead as they out-hustled the Storm in the first 25 minutes. But just like Friday night's game, the Storm clawed their way back into it and then scored a number of tries to please the favourite backers, like you. In the end, the game finished at 6 tries to 4 as the Eels scored a couple of tries to remain in touch, but not close enough to strike fear into the Storm side.
Yeah, it was an ambush by the Eels. They scored first. Then the Storm bombed 2 tries with Josh Hadakar throwing a shite pass with the line wide open. Then Bromwich dropped the ball over the line when he looked certain to score. Then another drop ball from Melbourne led to a great try to Clint Torres Gutherson from some great lead-up work from Jennings, a great flick pass to Dick Fingers Ferguson. But then full credit to the boys' favourite, Papa Giorgio from Melbourne. He was in everything, and the Storm were just too good off the back of him and just killed the Eels in the end.
Yeah, and not only that killed the Eels, it was a horror night for key injuries. Both sides felt the front brunt of the footy gods, with Parramatta losing both of their gun wingers, Maker Sivo and Blake Ferguson. Sivo looked to have injured his left knee in the 11th minute, was taken from the field not to return, with serious doubts he'll actually have a game again in 2020. In the second half, the Eels lost their other winger when Fingers Ferguson also went off with a knee and ankle injury, in the 63rd minute. But perhaps the biggest blow fell upon the Storm, when Cameron Munster was taken straight from the field in the 70th minute with a knee injury. on the upside for the Storm. They now have a week off to try and get Munster right, while the Eels, we can only hope for the next 5 days we get hyperbaric chamber updates as they prepare to face the Bunnies.
Wasn't that all the rage back in the day? Showing players.
Better times.
Yeah, sitting there reading the Daily Mirror in a hyperbaric chamber.
But look it up, game, kids. Look it up.
This game, Munster was absolutely filthy coming off the field with a knee injury.
He was on fire. He was on fire on Saturday night.
It's the same knee he's injured twice this year, and it was already heavily strapped. He threw his mouth guard in disgust as he came off the field, and it got me thinking, not sure if people have seen Willie Mason's teeth lately. Imagine if he threw his mouth guard. It would take out two rows of the crowd. But
they'd probably get blinded with welder's flash too as the fucking the white teeth hit the sunshine for the first time that day.
But they do have 2 weeks for Munster to get back, and I just saw about an hour ago they have said he is a definite starter.
Yeah, it's good. I'm actually glad for that.
Yeah.
I mean, he should rest out for Origin, I think. That would be the smart thing. But once
You can play next week, hopefully play the grand final. But then the following week, get it cleaned out, man.
Right. You're crazy not to. You too, Kalen Ponga. Even though the Tigers aren't in the finals once again, Sid, we can take comfort in knowing that one of the best on the ground for the Storm was another former Tigers player in Ryan Papagiorgio. Papagiorgio had a night out at Suncorp Stadium, scored in 2 tries, had 2 try assists, ran for 225 metres, 4 tackle busts, 2 line breaks and 2 line break assists to help the Maroochydore Storm to a 12-point win. He showed everyone the speed he actually possesses when he scored his 2nd try by burning off Wunga Blake on the way over to the far left corner.
Yeah, he was enormous in this game, former.
No, I don't, same size.
I don't normally like watching Melbourne Storm games, but it was great to see Papagiorgio, Josh Hadakar, Mitch Moses, Dum Dum Madison, Nathan Brown, all playing semi-finals footy. When the Tigers players, they were down Campbelltown Leagues Club, smashing schooners, celebrating yet another failed season. It was great to see. What a great game.
Yeah, and the final game of week one of the semi-finals of 2020 saw the Rabbitohs absolutely spank the Knights 46 points to 20. And the Bunnies overcame a white-hot start from the Knights to go on and obliterate the Knights, winning by 26 points. After 11 minutes, Newcastle led 14-0. But much like the Storm and the Panthers, the Bunnies settled the game down and over the course of the next 25 minutes shifted the momentum to rack up 46 points in a game that ended at 8 tries to 3. The Knights' efforts were good for the first 45 minutes, Sid, before a couple of dusty calls seemed to suck the wind from their sails as Souths proved unstoppable once they got their noses in front.
Mate, the Knights were flying early. They had tries to Heimel Hunt and Bradman Best, and Knights fans were partying like it was 1997 all over again. But then the Bunnies went absolutely apeshit. The Knights let in a few soft tries. Totola's try, that was very soft.
Oh, my God. And that's, oh, my God.
That spelled the end for the Knights.
Four blokes on top of him, and no one wraps the ball up.
I know.
I watched that 3 times, that replay, and just was like, I don't even know who to blame. There's four of you there. Seriously. Yeah.
They all thought the other guy would do it.
Yeah. And then they all looked at each other like they were the worst blokes in the world. I'm thinking, grab a mirror.
But after the Bunnies smashing the Roosters last week and then putting on this turn, how far can the Bunnies go, you reckon?
Well, let me answer that in a minute, because I want to talk to you about the best teams that we've seen in week one of the semis. But let's just get over this final point. Now, according to Full Credit, the boys' backyard stats lab, Face Tat Terry, and his less inked brother, Ballsack Tat Tony, Coney Walker once again continued his white-hot form in this game, proving to be unstoppable for the Knights. He was involved in a number of the Bunnies' tries and looked dangerous throughout the game, especially in the second half. He finished the game with a try of his own, as well as 18 tackles, 2 try assists, 65 running metres, a line break and 6 tackle busts.
Yeah, it was a great game from him. Some would say he was enormous in this one. But it was an all-round performance from the Bunnies. They dominated them all over the park. Never underestimate old Bones Wanye Bennett, former. He'll have the Bunnies ready to go next week against Parramatta.
Did you see him up in the box? It was either he was giggling at something that Rodney Rood said in 1989, or he had wind. I couldn't figure it out. But he was happy as anything. Right, let's look back at the weekend that was. Who was? We've seen all. well, we've seen six teams that are still in it. Who do you think was the most impressive?
Well, Penrith are impressive. There's no scoop there. They look like they were going to put a score on, and after the Roosters got smashed last week, they're looking a bit tired. But the Roosters did fight back. It was a close one in the end. But for me, Melbourne are just red hot across the park. With Munster going to play next game, the Roosters and the Panthers are the teams to beat.
Yeah, the Roosters and the Panthers.
Sorry.
Storm and the Panthers.
The Storm and the Panthers. I think the Roosters are looking shot. And yeah. Parramatta's looking shot as well.
I can't put my actual finger on the Roosters' problems. This was the first week, by the way, in rugby league history that all teams scored 20 points or more in the first week of the semis.
Yeah, right.
But I agree that the Panthers looked good, but I also think that we've seen a couple of vulnerabilities in them.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
I think it's their left side defence. I think they're between the three blokes standing out that end, that side. I think there was something like 11 missed tackles, which, I mean, that's interesting in itself. They're going to be down Kikau for the next game, maybe.
Well, they're going to fight that. They're going to fight that.
They may well win it, I should say. If they don't win that, then they have no Kikau. But even with or without, I just think there's some vulnerabilities there that I don't reckon we've seen against some of the lesser teams. I didn't think the Roosters were that bad. I thought that they showed a fair bit of character, but I agree with what you said, and I reckon there was something what Trent Robinson said when he said they're out of sorts. I can't figure out what it is. They're not that team that looked impregnable this time last year where you're just like, oh, geez, it's them and then who else? That's what you're thinking.
And they've got players all over the park, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking.
Yeah, I don't know if they're missing. They miss Friend, maybe.
Yeah, they definitely miss Friend.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a tackling machine. So we'll get into the next game. The Raiders, they looked very good against the Sharkies, but I don't know. I feel like they had to work hard to win that game, and the Sharks haven't been in white-hot form, which makes me wonder how deep the Raiders can go.
The Sharkies had another opportunity to beat a top-8 team. And they failed yet again.
Yep.
But you would have thought that Canberra would come out this week and absolutely blitz them, but the Sharkies showed some fight. Canberra.
Sharkies always show fight, but don't they? They'll fight over a bone. So
Canberra does have some vulnerabilities, but next week against the Roosters, I reckon that's going to be a red hot game.
I think there will be too.
Just depends who turns up with the most fire in their belly.
You said the Storm impressed you a lot.
Yes.
I don't know. There was a couple of things I saw in them that I wasn't that impressed with either. They did score a lot of points in a big chunk of the game, which is the way the game's been going this year. But I still think the Eels, who haven't been in white hot form themselves either, I mean, they were looking at running fifth there at one stage before with a couple of rounds to go. I thought that the Storm would have been a little bit more convincing, and I reckon Bellamy wouldn't be impressed that they scored 24 points against them.
No, I agree. And that's why I think they'll come out firing in their next game.
And the Bunnies take on... the Bunnies, well, mate, I don't know what to make of that, only because I don't think the Knights... I think the Knights running where they ran is about where they should be in that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Just scraped into the eight. And, mate, the Rabbitohs only just missed running fourth, so...
But the Bunnies have now scored 106 points in two matches.
Yeah.
You can't write them off. Against Parramatta next week, that's going to be another cracking game.
I tell you, I like the way they promote the ball a lot. It's a little bit like Penrith, that second phase play. They just keep playing and playing. And I'm telling you now, there's a couple of boys there, mate, that you just, if you don't kill the ball, they'll kill you.
One of the great things that the commentators missed out of the South Sydney-Newcastle game, Damien Cook set off, just blitzed him because he's a former beach sprinter I'm not sure that you realize this. But what they missed was he got run down by something that I brought up on this podcast that not a lot of people know. Bradman Best is a former Brinch sprinter, and he dragged him down. But the commentators missed the golden opportunity.
Give it 4 or 5 years and they'll get onto that. Then we'll never stop hearing about it.
This is why people tune into this podcast, because they heard that here first and only. Exclusively live on Full Credit to the Boys.
I believe Brayton Astor was kind of onto it, but he's looking up to find out what a peach printer is. He's not sure, but...
yeah, he kept calling him Bradman Breast.
Bit of news around. We start with Simon Brunsdon on Fox Sports News has reported that South Sydney have released a statement in the wake of the allegations levelled at former player and current staff member Sam Burgess. The Australian newspaper on Friday published a report citing serious drug and domestic abuse related accusations made against the retired English forward. Burgess has stood down from his roles at Rabbitohs and at Fox League.
Why?
The allegations include that South Sydney covered up various incidents which Burgess is accused of serious misconduct. The allegations in today's The Australian newspaper are very concerning and the club is treating them with the utmost seriousness, a statement from the Rabbitohs said.
They're shredding documents as we speak.
There is no place in our society, allegedly, there's no place in our society for violence, harassment or abuse against women. If anyone is found guilty of allegations of this nature, the club will take the strongest action possible. The club takes issues of drug use very seriously, very, very seriously, Sid, and has well-established policies and procedures in place around the use of performance-enhancing or illicit recreational or prescription drugs.
They certainly do have procedures in place around them. It was a very...
dark car parks.
A very detailed...
allegedly.
It was a very detailed report from the Australian. The journalists involved were Shari Markson, Jessica Halloran and Claire Harvey. It was a four-month investigation that set out in great detail allegations of a number of issues relating to Sam Burgess and the South Sydney club. If you get a chance to read it, a lot of people commenting on Twitter have not read the article.
Correct.
It's quite long and very in-depth. Now, Sam Burgess's lawyers, to be fair, have said it's all untrue.
Who's he using? Regan Cameron and Gillard?
I'm not sure. Fanua Blake and Associates. But his lawyers have said it is all untrue. The Australian stands by its story, and subsequently other media organisations have come out with stories of Sam Burgess getting up to no good.
As exclusively predicted by?
You did predict this, that there was going to be a new article every day, and I think for 4 days in a row, you were 100% spot on. Now, police are now investigating the South Sydney club doctor, so it remains to be seen where all this goes from here, but it's not over.
I believe Burgess's lawyers came out the next day and was saying that these are absolutely abhorrent accusations that will be defended and we will be seeking all means of justice in regards to slander.
It's a lay-down case of libel or slander, whichever one is the written one.
If there's not a skerrick of truth in that story and that's all made up, then Sam Burgess will have his own newspaper.
Absolutely. But let's see his lawyers take it to court.
Next story comes about the Queensland backline crisis, Sid, and appears to have worsened with news Kalyn Ponga is on the verge of ruling himself out of the 2020 series. Ponga is in discussions with his club Newcastle over forfeiting his availability for Queensland so he can undergo shoulder surgery instead and prepare for the 2021 NRL campaign. Interim Queensland coach Wanye Bennett now finds himself with a dearth of backline stars to choose from for game one, with the likes of Valentine Holmes suspended, Kyle Felt and Moses Mbai injured, and they're already ruled out anyway. Options are a little thin on the ground, they say. Here are the contenders. I'll just go through them in most obvious list choice, I suppose.
Yes.
AJ Brimson.
Yeah, just finish it there.
Okay. They also say Val Holmes.
Uh-huh.
They also say Dane Gagai.
Okay.
They also say Greg Inglis.
Is that a typo?
Will you like this next one?
Is that fair?
Or Darius Boyd.
Wow. I want to see old Bones Wanye throw a little footy to Darius and he kicks it in the air, and if Maroon smoke comes out of it, he's in for Origin. And for the sake of all Blues supporters everywhere,
I hope
he kicks it and Maroon smoke comes out.
Kick it out on the full after he dropped it.
Surely Brimson, he's had a great season.
Mate.
Fought back.
You've got to look for the future, surely.
Yeah.
Wayne Bennett, has officially been announced as a 2020 coach for the Queensland Maroons, but it remains unclear whether he will continue in the position next year. Bennett replaces Kevin Walters, who resigned this week to take on the head coaching role with the struggling Brisbane Broncos.
That's going to end in tears.
Walters, who had 2 years remaining on his contract with Queensland Rugby League, said he would assist Bennett, oh, I bet you can't wait for that, in preparing for the upcoming State of Origin campaign. Bennett, 70.
They're going for youth.
Nine.
Across the board up there.
Previously coached the Maroons in the 80s and the early 2000s.
And the 40s.
Queensland, when they were strong. Queensland have not won the State of Origin since 2017. No Queensland fan has tweeted about an Origin victory on an iPhone 11 or 10. Now, coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs in the NRL, Bennett said he felt privileged to be given the opportunity. I love coaching Queensland and I'm extremely humbled to be invited. That's right, invited to coach this team again, particularly in light of the challenging circumstances with Kevin moving on to coach the Broncos, he said.
I do not understand this. Is this...
Explain it to me.
Well, is this a suggestion that at the end of South Sydney season, because they're still playing, they're still alive... Could we see old Bones step aside from his role at the Bunnies and continue on as the Maroons coach well into his 120th year? He can't coach Souths and the Maroons, much like Kevy can't coach the Broncos and the Maroons.
That's what I thought the whole issue was.
I know. So I don't understand it. So more to the point, what about Paul Green sitting in the corner with his hand up saying...
I suppose there's always singing for Paul Green. Just a few weeks after announcing a pizza sponsorship deal, which saw the competition pocket no money, one Super League player has revealed his paltry salary. While athletes across the world have had to take pay cuts, five-time Scotland international Ryan Brearley told Total Rugby League's Matt Shaw that he was only earning, get this, £14,000 per year while playing in Super League club at Hull Kingston Rovers.
I thought you were going to say he was getting paid in chickens from a chicken company with his paltry salary.
For reference, an NRL development contract was $75,000 minimum last year. Minimum wage for a squad player is $110,000 in the NRL. Brearley is leaving Hull Kingston Rovers this year, and the 28-year-old said, in terms of the contract, it's been difficult. As not many people know, I've been being paid £14,000 this year, but I just wanted the opportunity to be honest and prove that I can play Super League. I just want to say something here.
Yeah.
Mate, if you don't reckon that there's a competition rife for corruption.
I didn't think of that.
When a bloke's getting paid £14,000.
Getting bashed every week.
Absolutely.
Getting paid in chicken nuggets.
And you don't reckon you could buy him off?
That's a good point.
I mean, it doesn't happen in the NRL unless you're at a live show and then Full Crew of the Boys live show. And then
allegedly, if you weren't there, you don't know. We're not talking about that. It does seem a bit of a mess.
What
the old Super League.
Former guests.
Don't worry about it. No. But anyway, I would take a sponsorship of free pizza. I've got to be honest. I could do a jingle for any pizza shop out there that wants to sponsor the show. Send us an email. Go to our website. But it's an embarrassing look for the Super League. Maybe Phil Gould's idea of the NRL buying the Super League isn't as stupid as we thought. Nah, it's stupid.
Are they still buying the plane? Are they still buying the jet?
Oh, we should be buying a jet too.
Oh, we do. That's
Where's
cool.
Ned? Buy that jet.
Johnson, the step back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be our final
goal. Sports News.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. Well, it's semi-final time in the AFL. NBL, hashtag talk other games down.
Exciting week, wasn't it, in AFL news?
Wow. The NBL's 10th team will be named the Tasmanian, get this, Jack Jumpers. And it's fair to say some big names aren't impressed.
Yeah, I'm not impressed.
Tasmania will join the NBL from the 2021-22 season. And last week, the franchise revealed the final two names in the running to be the team's official nickname were the Tridents, it's a pass from me, and the Jack Jumpers.
Well, the Tridents doesn't look so bad now, does it?
The Jack Jumpers.
They're joining in 21-22 and they'll be out by 22-23.
The new franchise confirmed on Tuesday that the latter had won the race with the Jack Jumpers being named. A jack jumper is a species of venomous ant native to Australia and most commonly found in Tasmania. As the name suggests, it is known for its ability to jump long distances.
I love Aussie names for teams. That's cool.
Yeah.
The Redbacks?
Yeah, I like the Redbacks.
That's pretty cool. Jack Jumpers? Not so much.
No, I'll give that a big hard miss.
I'd call it the Jack Johnsons before I call it Jack Jumpers. That's stupid.
Jack Jumpers, chief executive, I bet you that sits well with him. Simon Brookhouse said in a statement, synonymous with Tasmania, the Jack Jumpers will be proud, bold and fearless.
When I think of Tassie, I think of Jack Jumpers.
The map of Tassie, do you think they'd run with that?
Oh, that would have been good.
The Jack Jumpers will show that you don't need to be the biggest to be the best and to drive fear into your opponents. It's basketball, Simon. You're going to need to be the biggest and the best to strike fear into your
Simon,
opponents.
Yeah, Simon, you can talk it up all you like. The Jack Jumpers are stupid, but... I did some digging around the world.
Did you find any Jack Jumpers?
The most stupid names for clubs all around the world.
Oh,
I'm
going to
give you a top five. Here we go.
Five.
Number five, a football team out of the USA, the Dunbar Poets. Geez, that really puts fear into your opponents. We're up against the Poets this week. Think of some limericks.
Four.
The Montgomery Biscuits. Still better than Jack Jumpers.
Three.
The Chattanooga Purple Pounders.
Eh?
What is their mascot?
I got a fair idea.
Yeah, I knew that's what you would think of.
Eggplant.
Okay, that's fair.
Two.
This one's problematic. The Freeburg Midgets. I don't hate it. It's just...
Yeah, it's just... But really, it's in this day
times,
and age, in this day and age, do we really need to know?
They should be called the Freeburg.
It's not Freeburg.
The Freeburg little people, they prefer to be called.
I just thought you meant the Fitzroy Midgets.
One.
Here's my number one shithouse sporting team name.
Is it Australian?
No, it's a team from Idaho.
It's not the Wirilla Gorillas?
The Wirilla Gorillas is sick.
It's not the Canaries?
What's that one?
Somewhere. I think it's Parks, maybe.
The Yaguna Schooners?
Something like that. Or the Pelicans?
Pelicans is fine.
Really? I don't like Pelicans.
Well, this one's from Idaho in the US of A.
Of course it is.
And they're called...
The COVIDs?
There's a little town in Idaho called Butt, and they are called the Butt Pirates.
I think I know them. NFL, hashtag talk other games down. Without Peter Volandis running their game, the NFL is on the brink of having to make a major decision on the immediate future of the 2020 season as multiple games were cancelled amid a COVID-19 outbreak in the league. Several players and coaches from multiple teams, including Patriots superstar quarterback Cam Newton, have tested positive for the virus in the past few days. And the remainder of the league is on red alert now that a player involved in a third game has contracted the virus. Pro Football Talk reports that multiple coaches are now calling for the season to be suspended to curb the spread of the virus and to recalibrate the fixture in a shortened season, with Nick Politis saying that no game should count at this stage. The NFL looked into various bubble scenarios extensively, but it was determined they would not follow the path of the NBA and the NHL as it posed a logistical nightmare. American football has 32 teams in 32 cities spread across the country with very large playing rosters, coaching staff and personnel. It would be a tough exercise to squeeze that into one or more bubbles.
Yeah, well, the NFL is not on their own. This is filtered down to smaller teams. The Butt Pirates have had an issue. The virus is running through that place.
Different virus. Talking of that, yeah. I was listening to Bill Burr on the way here today, and he was talking about, because he follows the Patriots, and Cam Newton's the new quarterback, and he shattered that Cam Newton. He goes, but when you look as good as him, and you are as good as him, people want to be near you. He said, there's a reason why Magic Johnson got the virus and Larry Bird didn't.
Oh, brutal.
NFL, Jordan Mailata is not a former rugby league player anymore, Sid. I'm a football player, the giant 157-kilo Philadelphia Eagles.
Whoa, what?
157 kilos. Philadelphia Eagles offensive tackle said after starting for the first time in his team's first win of the year against the San Francisco 49ers. The one-time South Sydney under-20s player has spent 3 years with the Eagles honing his craft. Sure has.
And eating hot dogs.
Jeez. I don't know how much he's been eating, but anyway. Having
it's
been
all natural. It's all natural.
Drafted by the NRL powerhouse despite never having played a game. Mailata came on as an injury replacement in Philadelphia's season opener and got more game time last weekend. He earned praise from Eagles coach Doug Peterson. That's right, Doug. What'd Doug say? For being part of an offensive lineup that played tough. Jordan, he said, has been playing a lot of reps over there at left tackle, and that's his spot. Don't know what that means.
No, he but said, I like your American accent.
Sounds like Singo talking about computers. He said he's been comfortable there. We've been getting comfortable with him there, and I thought overall he did some good things tonight. He played well. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz also said Mulata did a great job playing on his protection. I'm so proud of him just stepping up. We didn't know who was going to play this week, and we decided it was Jordan's time, he said.
Yeah, this is fantastic. A NRL player coming good in the NFL. You'd want him on your team. You could hide three players behind him.
Just
150 watt kilos?
Just a word of warning.
Wow, that's 10 kilos less than you.
Word of warning to the Eagles. It doesn't end well when NRL players play NFL. Cricket. Cricket Australia, this is good news.
They need some good news.
Has inked a 4-year deal partnership with Dettol. Seeing the
What? Is this a G up?
Nope. Seeing the disinfectant and antiseptic company become naming partner rights of the men's One Day International and the men's T20 International Series.
Dettol.
The deal is telling of a transactions in the year of COVID-19 with the organisation set to investigate the transmission of germs in cricket, disinfect cricket balls that often polish with sweat and spit, and develop hygiene protocols for the teams and the staff. In addition, Dettol, I don't know whether Dettol think of the scrotometer, Dettol is becoming naming rights partner of the men's support team and a partner of the women's international team, and will provide products to 3,455 cricket clubs to help with germ protection. Last week,
is this a contra deal? Well, is there cash involved?
Because speaking of contra deals, last week Qantas entered a 30-year partnership with Rugby Australia, calling into question the future of sports partnerships as COVID-19 severely impacts marketing budgets, especially for businesses in categories such as travel, which has been significantly impacted. The airline will continue to support Cricket Australia and the FFA on an in-kind basis for the traditional 12 months, but will not involve payment, but rather give the partners access to benefits such as commercial flights and Qantas-owned marketing channels.
They're better off getting a pizza mob. Free pizza.
NRL News. Update. Well, it's just come through, Sid, that Kikau from the Panthers...
He appealed it.
...has been found guilty of a grade one dangerous throw on Jared Weir-Hargraves.
Everyone's always wanted to throw Jared Weir-Hargraves.
Better than a grade one, but... and will miss next weekend's game against the winner of the Eels versus the Rabbits from this weekend.
Which will be the Rabbits.
You'd imagine so.
Wow, that's huge for them.
Kikau's out. Which means he'll definitely play in the grand final.
What's happening? You reckon? What's happening with Panthers Twitter? Are they going off?
Yeah, a couple of them are saying it's a disgrace.
It's a conspiracy.
There's carryover points, which apparently was his biggest problem.
So. Yeah, that's why he had to fight it. No matter what he did, took the early guilty plea or not, he was going to miss it.
So, yeah, Kikau's out for one game next week. Back for the grand final.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered. Go to mareinc.com.au.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Well, Sid, it's a new month, and with a new month comes new predictions through Former's horoscope.
October is often known as a month of change. Neptune is in the cusp of Uranus. While Pluto is the weakest of the Disney characters, October will be a great month to try new things, like a different type of coffee, a change of paint colour in your study, or an opportunity to try someone else's wife. So let's have a look at what October has in store for you.
Aries!
Do something about your breath. It's like a dead rat lives in your throat.
Taurus!
All your stories are boring and they end up with you going, and that's when I went home.
Gemini!
Your sex life is mostly sympathy sex.
Cancer.
I don't want you to spin out, but they're definitely watching you.
Leo.
Push-ups. Remember them? Tubby.
Virgo.
The plain packaging is fooling no one. Everyone on Australia Post knows that you're a sex pest.
Libra.
It wouldn't hurt to update your wardrobe. Stonewash doesn't look like it's coming back soon.
Scorpio.
Stop Facebook stalking your wife's friends, you creep.
Sagittarius.
Whenever you're shopping and you hear security, section 3, they're talking about you.
Capricorn.
Have a day off Pornhub.
Aquarius.
Someone is skimming your credit card.
Pisces.
Your brother has a different father. And that's your astrology predictions for October. Good luck to all the punters out there.
Need a sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, let's do this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror, Sid, thanks to the wonderful people at NDF Electrical.
The best in the business, former.
We can't figure out whether it's the third or the second last time for the year, but whatever. Sid, if you're going to reply to my tweet, it goes out about 7:30 every Tuesday
morning. I never reply to that one.
Or there's a second one around 3:30. Use the hashtags Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM.
Tuesdays only.
I might have a crack.
Yeah, have a crack first. Go.
All right. If you're, well, Grab a Mirror, NRL Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, but you're still listening to this podcast, maybe shuffle through a little bit because this doesn't really apply to you, but Grab a Mirror to NRL Twitter because when I jumped on Twitter a few years ago now, Sid,
yep,
it was a fun place where you could take the piss and have a laugh.
Yeah, wasn't it?
But I don't know whether it's just me and it's been a long season. Didn't had no idea if I mentioned it on the show before. It's been a long season.
Has been a long season.
I'll say it again. It's been a long season.
Very long.
It's been a long season. So I don't know whether it's just me, but it's been a long season. But I am starting to get very tired of jumping on Twitter and just seeing just the most nonsensical arguments I've ever seen, or the dumbest posts, or the people that just want to reply. You know, you can just, you don't have to reply.
Yeah.
You can just let it go.
You're not going to get off Twitter, are you? Because you're a Twitter juggernaut.
I'm going to have a month off. I'll give you the red hot tip. But anyway.
Okay.
But I want to start in the last few weeks. This is a couple of things that I've noticed. First of all, this story about Burgess.
Yep.
Allegedly. Can't say allegedly enough about that story about Burgess, allegedly. But
yep,
what I've noticed is there is a core group of South's fans. Now, I appreciate you love your club and you might even love Sam Burgess.
They're good people, South's fans.
Listen, just on the quiet to you, South's fans that do still do love Sam Burgess, the evidence doesn't look great, but right? But
allegedly.
That's fine. Stick solid in the trenches. But to vigorously go out and defend him on Twitter, I'm telling you now, you're leaving yourself wide open because the amount of evidence that's been presented in that newspaper article doesn't paint a great picture of this bloke.
Yeah, right? I covered off on it before.
Yep. So if you want to go out and defend him, that's fine. If you want to go out and defend your club is another thing. But to come out and say this is just an agenda by the media, every year they do this about Sam Burgess. This year it was this, that year it was that.
Get your red and green tinfoil hats off, people.
Maybe that little bit of smoke, well, when I say a little bit of smoke, it's smoking like a burning green log, but whatever. Maybe the fact that this is the third year in a row, maybe there's a little bit of truth to the fact that this bloke mightn't be such a great bloke. But then on the flip side, Roosters fans are rejoicing in the aisles. Like, this is the greatest thing to happen. In the same week, they got wiped out 60-8 in other news, but yeah, whatever. But so they've been rejoicing in the aisles, saying it's been a great thing, which, and call, throwing out the names and everything else, which makes me laugh because, as I tweeted earlier on this week, if it had been a Roosters fan, a Roosters player,
yeah,
heaven help how the roles would be reversed.
Oh, Russell Crowe would be getting his quill out and writing another chapter in the Book of Feuds.
So
it's a great read. Great read, everyone.
Like I say, I appreciate that you love your teams and everything else, but some of you people are 45 and 50 years old. You know, you're not 12. This isn't my team's better than yours. Some of this stuff's pretty damning and pretty ugly.
Allegedly.
So I want to get to the next mob of Twitter people that have just been pissing me off in the last week. Kalen Ponga Knockers.
Ponga Knockers.
Right. I wrote Conga. I combined his names. Who this week have said, oh, didn't he have a great game? Where was he last week? Mate, can I just tell you that when your team is getting dominated in the forwards, it's very hard for anyone, let alone a fullback, to turn the game around like you all seem to expect him to. Now, is he worth $1.2 million? Perhaps the jury is still out on that. But I'm telling you now, he is in the top five players in the comp on his day.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So,
I'm not a Ponga knocker.
He's only a kid, mate. I'd love to see your Ponga knockers. But he's only a kid still too, Sid.
Yeah.
Right? So just hang tight on that. The next group that have pissed me off, and some of these have been Cronulla fans, are the Wade Graham knockers after it was announced that he wouldn't be playing Origin. To me, Wade Graham should be playing Origin. And I don't care what anyone says. And everyone says he's had a poor season. He had a poor season because for most of the season, he was only one of the decent players in the Sharks that's played games.
Yeah.
I mean, one stage he played 5/8. At another stage he played, he was playing second row, then lock. Mate, the bloke can't do everything. And in that position, I think you're still gifted with what is one of the best players in the comp. And for a bloke like that to be able to have a short kicking game always is going to pose dangers on the opposition's try line.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Wade knockers either.
No. So there's three groups of people. But like I said at the start of this, if you're on Twitter and someone says something, especially if you don't even follow them, just let it go.
No, block them. Hurl abuse at them, then block them.
Or even mute them, you know? But be better, people. Please
don't
be better.
Don't block or mute anyone. Just walk away.
Over the off-season, try harder, NRL Twitter. Try harder and grab a mirror in the same time.
10.
No equals this week.
Number 10. You said you like them short and sweet,
but
there it is.
But you never listen to me.
At BJ O. Rosenberg says,
hey,
hashtag
Rosie.
Grab a mirror. The bloke who snapped a photo of my father while the near 90-year-old was having a post-lunch snooze, then rudely texted my old man the photo. That person would be me at BJ O. Rosenberg. Hashtag put him in it. Hashtag not nice. Hashtag bad son.
Good job.
9.
At efficient, not lazy.
Hey, efficient, not lazy.
Hashtag grab a mirror. History. The last time at Sydney Roosters lost two consecutive games, the NRL shut down. Please, please, 2020, don't let history repeat. Roosters really need to lose three in a row first.
Nick Politis has already said that those last two games shouldn't count.
8.
At Tommy Paragraphs.
Hey, Tommy.
Says, hashtag grab a fucking mirror, Sean Lane, and gaze deeply into it while you give yourself the finger gun salute for breaking through the at Storm put a minute line to score a try to cover the 13.5 point spread on that game, you magnificent bastard.
You magnificent bastard.
Hashtag points are on me when the Rabbitohs beat you next weekend.
Yeah, I'll meet you wherever you want. I'll get a free point.
7.
At Cyril Sidestep.
Hey, Cyril.
Hashtag grab a mirror. Hashtag, no, I did this hashtag, halloumi cheese. I'm going to search that hashtag in a minute. I want to see what else comes up.
Yeah, what else is that going to be there?
You are the most overrated, overpriced, shit-tasting cheese.
Whoa.
Even dick cheese would have you covered.
Wouldn't think so.
In brackets, so I've heard. Next time I want chewy rubber in my salad, I'll chop up and fry some of those Vietnamese condoms. It's the Catoni of cheese, semi-soft meat substitute.
I don't know why he's bagging squeaky cheese. It's delicious.
Hang on, let's go back.
6.
What are we doing?
Let's look what the hashtag halloumi cheese.
Oh, yeah. Let's look that up right now.
I'm already on it.
Who's that? Shut up, mate. Well, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah? What are other people have to say about halloumi cheese? Why is halloumi cheese so controversial?
Very overrated. And I'm going to reply to Cyril Sidestep's tweet and then mute him and block him. So it seems that there's a lot of hashtag halloumi cheese tweets out there.
It's a delicious cheese. Shall I hit this again?
Yeah.
6.
Is this where we're up to?
Yeah. At Boo Vaudry says, grab a mirror, married men, and anyone else who uses the term, I'll check with the boss. Just fuck off. You're going to be divorced in 3 years anyway. Hashtag cuck. Hashtag check the purse. Hashtag she's cheating.
See, people should reply on Facebook from their joint account. And put boo. in his place.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a bloke that has a joint account on Facebook with his missus. How embarrassing.
Five.
Especially the one that's Mrs. and Mr. Sid. That's a real weird one. I don't know if you've seen it. At Milram361 says,
hey, Milram.
Hashtag grab a mirror at Clovermore, put it in it, for more peanut-brained bike lanes in Pitt Street. Now three lanes to cross, you muppet. The people who are trying to lure back to the CBD need Linda Blair's head to cross that death trap safely, you dingbat. Hector the safety cat is coming for you. Hashtag
Hector the safety cat.
There's a lot going on in that.
There is a lot going on in that.
Milram's had an afternoon on the Quaaludes. Yeah. Hashtag who voted for you anyway?
Four.
At MGraz2005.
Hey, Grazzy.
Hashtag grab mirror, Queensland border policymakers. Even when it's open, I'm calling for us in New South Wales to holiday local. How good is the Gong, Gosford and Wellington? And boycott Queensland destinations. You can stick your 4X up your ass, you two-headed freaks. Hashtag another gallon punch needed. Hashtag boycott Queensland.
Could not agree more. Can I have a go now?
Yeah, you've been building this up off air, so I can't
I wouldn't have thought so. But grab a mirror, Mike Geelan, former. Do you know who Mike Geelan is? You don't know. Don't even guess. Let me tell you who he is. He's a bloke that tried to hijack a helicopter to break his missus out of prison. Genius. Mike Geelan, 24, a tulip farmer and clog wearer from Holland.
You crazy Dutch bastard.
Loves his chocolate.
He hired a helicopter and threatened the helicopter pilot using a replica handgun as he sought to spring his girlfriend, Luann Van Hooten, 27, out of the Anne Frank Women's Correctional Centre in the small town of Fanny Schmeller in the south of Holland on Friday, where she was being held, get this, on suspicion of murdering her ex-boyfriend. Risky breaking her out. The two met when Geelan was also in prison. And their paths.
That's why you used a fake gun. She's a murderer. He could have got a real gun, but he's like, nah.
It's risky.
I'm not getting a chopper with that mad bitch.
It's risky as. When Geelan was also in prison, their paths crossed in the visit section.
Oh, nice.
And Geelan was instantly smitten with Luann, saying she looked hot in her oversized orange overalls when she approached him and said, give me a fucking smoke, you dog. The helicopter circled the prison several times, but Geelan's plan was foiled as the pilot was unable to land in the prison yard. While the helicopter flew over the prison, the inmates were cheering and waving, but Geelan, criminal mastermind, he became nauseous and had to put his head out of the helicopter five times to have a chunder.
Into the blades?
The pilot was then instructed to fly to the town of Peter van den Hoogenband, where Geelan then legged it with his sick bag still in hand. It's hard to run in clogs, can I tell you?
With a sick bag.
But when police investigated, they realised that Geelan, the criminal mastermind, had booked the helicopter under his own name using his credit card. And he was quickly apprehended. So grab a mirror, Mike Geelan, you criminal mastermind, and you better use that mirror to look over your shoulder in the prison showers. Because you're a dum-dum. You're going to be easy prey in prison, I'd reckon.
Three.
At official Nenet. Hashtag grab a mirror, park cricketers who complain about not being able to use their saliva to shine the ball in hope to get it to swing. It doesn't matter how much the ball is swinging when you bowl pies that get hit over the fence. Hashtag half trackers don't swing.
I'm not sure if I told you. Last two seasons I've played cricket at Oatley. They have not been able to get me out. Sure, they ran me out three times. I'm no good at the running between wickets. But geez, they throw some pies up.
You're a white Ranatunga.
Two.
That's a true story.
Geordie, ATR. Not ATM. ATR.
Hey, Geordie.
Not BBC. ATR. Hashtag grab a mirror, daylight savings. Because of you, I can say with confidence that at least one night of the year, I lasted 1 hour and 2 minutes doing the hanky-panky.
Good job.
One.
What got number one this week, former?
At Mace182.
Hey, Mace.
Hashtag grab a mirror, jet ski riders.
Wait. This isn't Willie Mason, is it?
No.
After I bagged him before with his Barry Beef.
Oh, world is flat. Hashtag grab a mirror, jet ski riders, the WRX drivers of the ocean.
Oh, I could not agree more.
You can't put a blow-off valve, coilovers, and a sick four-inch system on your shitbox. Also, grab a mirror, the crazy Helen Hunt, camped on a sand island, screaming at my kids for getting close to some pelicans. What's going on?
That was a fantastic day out. Mad invite. I would have loved to be at that.
It's a story in 280 characters. Hashtag pelicans will eat them. Hashtag pterodactyls.
I feel like we need a part two. Just tune in next week for Barry Beef's update.
Fucking Mad Gilligan having a crack at Mace's kids.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
About once every two or three years, I think, I'd like a jet ski.
You reckon?
Then I think...
It's so bogan.
Then I think, fuck, I'd use that once.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Sid, it's time for this.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Well, Sid, there's two games to preview, and there's three of us here because this bloke's here.
He's a stat man.
Andrew Ferguson from Rugby League Project, or on Twitter you can find him at Andrew RLP, and don't forget that Patreon, the all-important Patreon at the Rugby League Project, mate, that's keeping that place afloat. How's things going down in lockdown Melbourne?
Yeah, it's still stuffed. I mean, let's face it, it's Victoria. I mean, people are just starting to realise now just how stuffed this place is.
What's more popular, COVID or Dan Andrews?
Ooh, COVID. It's not Victorian.
Boys, we start on Friday night in a very interesting game. It's a replay of the replay of the replay of last year's grand final.
Jeez, I've been looking forward to a grand final replay.
Sydney Roosters taking on the Canberra Raiders. $1.47 Bluebet have the Roosters, $2.70 the Raiders. The handicap is set at 5.5 in the way of the Raiders, which seems a little bit generous for mine. Andrew, what are the stats saying here, mate?
The last time the Roosters lost back-to-back finals games in the same year was in 2008, while Canberra have had just one finals win in Sydney since the 1994 grand final, and that was in 2010.
That's a crucial stat.
Yeah.
They have had to travel all year.
Yes, that's true. And what's their travel arrangement this weekend? Do they have to go back home on the night?
I'm not sure if Canberra has to do that now. Mm. I know interstate you still do, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway, it's going to be a cracker of a game. Grand final replay.
We're a decent podcast.
I was going to say, for the Victorian base, you can't travel any more than 5Ks away from where you live, so that'd be stuffed.
On that stat alone, you'd think that Canberra have it right up against them, mate. Who are you backing?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Roosters, but I reckon this will be another close one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close one. I have not stopped bagging the Roosters this whole podcast, but I'm picking the Roosters.
Are you?
Yeah.
Interesting. I like the Roosters. I think they weren't so bad last week. They've named Jake Friend. Bad in patches, but let's face it, they only lost by a point and they scared the life out of Penrith there for a while.
Jake Friend has been named, but they have named 21 players.
Yeah, I think I got named. So.
Did you?
Yeah, 22.
Assuming you're not going to take the field.
Which was my favourite jersey number in
the back end
of my career. I love the 22.
You're more of a chance of playing NFL after that 157 kilo fella.
I'd have to lean up a bit.
Trim down.
So I'm back in the Roosters as well.
Yeah, me
boys.
Too.
The second game, which is equally as interesting, I think, sees the out of form, I guess you'd say, Parramatta Eels taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who are white hot. The Bluebet has the Bunnies at $1.47 and has the Parramatta Eels at $2.70, if you don't mind. Handicap for this one is also at 5.5 in the way of Parramatta. You got a stat here that says that Parramatta could beat them, Andrew.
Let's see. Brad Arthur's never had a win in the second week of finals footy.
That's not good for Parramatta.
That's not a good start.
Parramatta scored 52 points in the last two games compared to South, who have racked up 106.
Yes. That's not good either.
Of the 20 times since 1908 that Souths have won back-to-back games in a final series, they've gone on to become premiers 15 times.
Interesting. Wow.
Well, I know a bloke that's had a sneaky bet on the grand final being Raiders v Rabbitohs at 76-1.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Is it you?
I offered him 176-1. I'm regretting that. yeah, he did have that. So who are you backing, mate?
I'm going Souths, and I reckon they might run up a score again.
Yeah, I'm going Souths. I don't think you can read too much into the, even though I mentioned it before, they've scored 100 and something points. That's Roosters game. The Roosters threw it. But we said from the start of the final series that Parramatta are a red-hot chance of going out in straight sets. I'm taking Souths to beat Parramatta.
They've named Ferguson, which I find interesting. I tell you what, I don't like to say this, but Blake Ferguson isn't the Blake Ferguson of probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's slow to move, I reckon, especially laterally.
Dangerous under a high ball, though.
Gets caught out very dangerous, like Edward Scissorhands under a high ball. The biggest danger is popping the ball.
Yeah, they've ordered 20 extra footballs for this game.
It's like he's trying to catch it with the cymbals in his hands. So on that alone, I'm going to go South, and I think you might be right there, Andrew. With a little bit of momentum, it could get ugly quickly unless Parramatta can stem the tide or keep them honest for as long as they can.
They're not looking red hot, are they, Parramatta?
No, and I tell you what,
they've had a good season.
I think we
finished
talked about
third.
It. I think we talked about it before. The right side defence, geez, they've leaked some missed tackles down that side where Moses is,
and Dick Fingers is on that side.
Yeah, and I think last week they even had to move Wunga Blake to the other side of the field just to.
So we're all in agreement, South Sydney.
South Sydney.
So with only two games, it's pretty hard to get value for the punters out there. Thanks to Bluebet, but
I told
Sid's
you
rough
how
punt.
To.
Yeah.
Including a couple of Nicaraguan soccer games and a.
Remember those days? They were good days. But thanks to Bluebet, let's do this.
If you want to have a rough punt, then listen to this bloke Sid punt.
So I'm going Morris, one of them. Which one is it? Anytime try scorer at $2.30.
You've gone. Any Morris, anytime try scorer.
That should be a market. Blue bet, get onto that. Give me a call, Dunk. Let's get that available to Full Credit to the Boys listeners. Josh Morris.
Okay.
$2.30, anytime try scorer.
Yes.
In their win, the Roosters. Cody Walker, anytime try scorer. $2.37. Bit of value. Combine those two. $5.54. $50 thanks to bluebet.com.au.
Set punt.
Will you be watching the games from home, Andrew, or will you be going out?
Oh, every weekend we to go for park. A bit of a holiday where we go to the end of the street and come back in the car. It's great fun.
Is that bin night?
No, we like to make sure we have two holidays every week. We do that on a different day.
Be fun living down there. Plenty of time to do more podcasts.
Don't forget Rugby League Project. You can find it at rugbyleagueproject.org. You can donate on the Patreon there. You
a great resource.
Follow Andrew on Twitter at AndrewRLP or listen to his podcast, Fergo and the Freak. Mate, we will talk to you next week.
Cheers, guys.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Right, let's wind this thing in.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boys sack.
The boys sack mail and feedback time. Let's go straight to the tipping comp because...
Oh, it's heating up.
I don't know.
You forgot to put your tips in.
And went up, so there you go. I'll give you the
top. A few people have given up.
I'll give you the top five. I can't
yeah,
see,
who's in the top
can't
five?
See the winner coming from outside the top five. Actually, I can't see the winner coming outside the top two, but whatever. We'll go from five. Your mum should have swallowed. Chris Bolte is on 125.
On you, Chris. 125 is pretty good.
Psycho Yeemans, Jack Davis is also on 125.
Yeah, good job.
Ryan Jansen, the cream rises to the top. Hamster style. He's on 127. He's got third wrapped up.
He's a chance.
I wouldn't think so.
The fourth or fifth are no chance.
Magic Nuggets, Tony Walters, is on 129, and he is one behind The great leader, Matthew Annetts, do not eat glass. He's on 130.
That's a good tip too.
So with two games this weekend and then two the next weekend.
Yeah, we're not sure. We can't remember.
There's five games left from what I could tell. You're all in it. Everyone's at your winner.
Not me.
No, I wouldn't think so. Anything else? Oh, Patreon.
Yeah, go to patreon.com/FCTTB if you want. I don't care. But we have been putting up more and more
content,
and we will continue to do so in the off season. But if you want more content from Full Credit to the Boys in the off season, the app is now available on the, what's that, Google one?
Android.
Yeah, that Android one. The non-Apple one. Yeah. It's now
one
up
that works
there.
And doesn't steal all your information.
Nah, I'm an Apple man. But yeah, it's there on the Google Play Store.
You're an Apple man because that's how you like your women, with an Adam's apple.
Wondered where you were going with that. But yeah, it's up there. The Apple one will be updated soon. All the new features that are on there, there's a whole bunch of interviews. You don't have to sift through all the old episodes to get to the interviews. They're standalone now. There is the horoscope every month all the way through the off season.
You're welcome.
Something for you to write every month.
Mm. Good luck in November when I tip the Melbourne Cup winner.
There's a whole bunch
mysteriously ends. There'll be a hidden message in it. You'll find the Melbourne
Cup. So
you've
got to listen. Yeah, but there's going to be a whole bunch of other things. We've got big plans for that in the off season and in the new season. So go and download the app.
Now, before we finish, lingerie lowdown update. What have you seen this week?
Yeah, I didn't realize I was on YouTube and it came up with lingerie lowdown digest. I was like, what the hell is that? But that's the site that you tipped us all onto a few months ago.
And you were saying that one of the girls on there reminds you of someone?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, you don't say it, but privately you did. You said...
But that was a good tip from you. Go to
you said it looks
lingerie like lowdown digest. Let's wrap this up. You're a weak prick. Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Then there was Bennett. Guilty until proven so.
But soon, as the case started moving slow...
What do you know? Sure as a seagull gets web-toed.
Charles was the culprit.
Good night.
Good night. Then there was Bennett, guilty until proven so. But soon as the case started moving slow, what do you know? Sure as a seagull gets web-toed, Charles was the culprit. The whole plot was an insurance scheme. All night. Don't be sharp, baby, I won't bite. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?